Let's move to Anna from Australia, also relating to conversational reframing. How do you reframe to a person who is an alcoholic and they can't see what they are doing and say, I have it under control, and yet it's affecting their relationships because they feel insecure and they feel that it's the only way that they can have fun? So this is about a person who's an alcoholic. They can't really see what they're doing. They can't... Oh, I see. And they overtly tell people, no, it's no problem. It's all right. I've got it under control. So it's kind of... This is relating to your river in Africa, again.
Well, yes.
Yeah, someone who's a bit in denial, who's... But they, you can kind of see that pattern in the outside in that person. But how do you help them to understand that it is causing problems in their relationship, and that in their relationships, and that it's that they're feeling insecure? They feel like it's the only way that they can have fun. How do you help a person like that, Mark?
Yeah, and it's you know, if you feel very reliant or dependent on something, then it does seem to give us the illusion of giving us something very valuable that then we'll tend to support it, you know, in the same way that someone who is in love with somebody who's terribly abusive to them will defend that person. And you know, I watched a TV program last night about a woman who'd been a children's writer in England who had been bereaved. Her husband of 22 years had died, and she'd met online Prince Charming, who eventually moved in with her, and she defended him, you know, and friends were sort of, you know, doubtful about their relationship, and she defended him, and he seemed to meet all her needs, but of course he changed her will and ended up murdering her, but she probably defended him and to the last, okay, and you know, his abuse, his control of her was insidious and subtle, and you know, bit by bit. Okay, and that's of course an analogy to the way people defend what's undermining them, as with the smoking woman that we discussed earlier, and also perhaps this. And I wonder if such a person would actually come for therapy, okay, or they might come about something else, you know. But whether they come for therapy ostensibly about something else, but unconsciously needing help for the alcohol, I don't know. You know, or maybe they've been dragged in by someone else. You know, this so often happens, doesn't it? You know, that the really motivated person isn't the person that's come in for therapy, it's the person that's dragged the person in for therapy. You know, so, or, you know, or perhaps this is someone you know outside of therapy. And it can be, as we all know, easier to live in a deluded way. You know, it can certainly be more comfortable to go through life like that, until the discomfort of going through the, you know, until such time as payback time is so strong that you can't ignore it anymore, you know. So I can pretend that I don't have a leak in my roof, but eventually when the roof collapses, that I can't really pretend it anymore because everything's, you know, been destroyed. You know, so I can go about, you know, deluding myself, all kinds of things, you know. It can be a comfortable way to live. So, you know, denial or cognitive dissonance happens when part of us knows the truth of the situation, but part of us, perhaps the conscious part, tries to cover this up. So it's not necessarily lying. It's a defense mechanism. It's like an immune system, you know, for people who perhaps don't have too much self-objectivity. Also happens when we hold any belief, you know. But when we get disconfirming feedback about the belief, okay, we still cling to the belief, maybe even more so, you know, maybe even believe it in it more strongly. This is what Leon Festinger, who discovered or highlighted or described cognitive dissonance, found in the people he studied. It was a UFO cult that he studied, and the cult believed that UFOs were going to come and rescue them, and that the rest of the world was going to be destroyed. And Leon Festinger lived with this cult, and of course on a allotted day the world didn't end, and the UFOs didn't come down and rescue anybody, the chosen ones, And Festinger was fascinated to, you know, how would they respond to this? And what he found, strangely, was that the many of the cult members believed it more strongly, and that they rationalized it away and said, well, it was our belief that actually saved the world. But this will happen at a later date. Okay, so you know, if you want to believe something, then search for truth may get sidelined, you know, because of the emotional benefits of the belief, and you know that certainly we see this in psychotherapy clients quite often, you know, not all the time, but sometimes, you know. So my relationship ends, but it's not my alcoholism to blame, but the terrible attitude of my ex-partner who didn't love me enough. They were crazy anyway. You know, my heavy drinking, and I'm speaking figuratively here, by the way, causes me to, you know, constantly be late into work until I get fired. And of course, it's not the drinking that screwed me over, but my stupid, crazy boss for firing me. Okay. And this happens, you know, and I defend the drinking. Something else happens and I defend the drinking, and so it goes on until maybe one day I can't defend it anymore because I'm looking at an eaten away liver on an x-ray machine in the hospital. Okay. And I might then say, well, it was so and so, it was my ex-wife that made me drink, you know, it's her fault that my liver's like this. Okay. But we collude with what is out to get us. Okay. We collude with it. We are the Vichy government in 1940 in France, excusing and housing the Nazis. Okay. We're the abused partner who tells you they walked into a door, you know, or their partner loves them really. Whenever, you know, so whenever there's a pattern someone can't or won't see, it's best to lay the pattern before them in another context. Okay, and this we call metaphor or analogy. So I might talk to this person about relationships, just as we might do with a smoker, okay, or even the bulimic or the anorexic, and how people can be taken in by an abuser who can be very convincing and convince them that they can only have fun with them. You know, stick with me, you can only have fun. Without me, you're nothing. You know, stop seeing your other friends. Okay, you know, they can only find meaning with them, that without them there's no life and no survival. Okay, but of course it's all a lie. And how do people get lied to? So I talk about people, I don't talk about the client, you know, in this case I would talk about people again. You just present the pattern to them to give them a chance to escape, you know. And you know, the trouble with lies, if you believe them, is that they can kill you. Okay, people are, you know, being lied to by people can lead to the graveyard. Okay, so all you can do really is to present the pattern to him and appeal to the parts of this man that have to, you know, actually deal with the excessive alcohol. So, you know, what is, you know, if the liver finally have freedom of speech under this Nazi government, you know, what would the liver say? You know, it's got amnesty for a few minutes. You know, what would it say about that alcohol? What would the brain say? The brain cells, the skin, the sexual virility, the fertility, the heart. You know, what would your heart say that has to deal with all that? Okay, during hypnosis. So you get other parts of the team to finally have say. There's a little bit of this man that's colluded with the tyranny of the alcohol. Okay, but we can almost bypass that part and start to talk to the parts that actually have to live under this dictatorship, that have to deal with it. So talking to these parts directly to help him stand up to the drink. Okay, you know, some people are bullied and they pretend they're not being bullied, or they collude with a bully. Okay, so I would talk about bullying, tyrannies, Vichy government even, you know, the parts of the team that have to deal with it and so forth, and what would they say about it? And, you know, as a drive towards honesty, but we can't, you know, make somebody see something, but we can lay the groundwork so they have more chance of seeing it. And as I say, to avoid the rubber band effect, the automatic opposition of some people, automatic contrariness that some people seem to not be able to help to do, we might need to tread very, very carefully and talk an analogy or metaphor, which seems to bypass a lot of that automatic knee-jerk contrariness that some people have. And I also reframe the very idea of drink, you know, because we call alcohol drink, but of course it's not drink, you know, not really, because drink, real drink, supplies moisture, you know, and alcohol, of course, dehydrates. Okay, so even the name is a lie. and we can start to undermine the tyrant in that way, bit by bit.